Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean, Blessed Are the Peacemakers?
God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on the Beatitudes, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where He went up on that mountain to teach His disciples about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. So we're going to look today at the seventh of the Beatitudes. Let's take a look at that now and ascend those slopes with Him again to that mountaintop, the recesses of the upper elevations. Sit down with Jesus there again in that high place, in those cool upper airs overlooking the great vista of the Sea of Galilee and such, and hear Him teach us again about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So let's take a look at Matthew 5, verse 1, and then we'll jump over to verse 9, the seventh Beatitude. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, verse 9, the seventh Beatitude, He said, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let's talk about that one today and see what we can learn. What is Jesus teaching us? What's He aiming to tell us about the kingdom of God? So, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What can we learn about that? Well, as we've said on the other weeks, the first thing he's doing here is declaring to us a blessing. Makarios is the word in the Greek. Blessed, happy, and joyful are you when you do what? When you are a peacemaker. When you are one who makes peace on the earth. And what is the great honor and title of that? To those who are peacemakers, you shall be called sons of God. Think about that title. How honorable that is to be called a son of God when you make for peace. And what does that mean? But to give you the kingdom. For the kingdom of God is given not to the slave, but to the son. The son is the peacemaker. So the world to come, Jesus is declaring here, will be given to those who are the peacemakers of the earth. Are you a peacemaker of the earth? Well, the next thing we can take a look at here is, what is a peacemaker? What is Jesus talking about here? Well, the word in the Greek for peacemaker is arena poios. It's two words, arene, peace, poieo is the verb, to do or to make. So a peacemaker is a doer of peace, a maker of peace, a person who acts to restore harmony between individuals, who ends the war, who makes the conflict come to a close, who stops the violence, and brings, really, if you think of it, two warring parties or persons back together again as one. It heals a wounded relationship. So you could be a husband and wife reconciler, bringing them back together when they are at odds with each other. You could be a disgruntled friend's reconciler. You could be a warring party's reconciler. A peacemaker is a repairer of the breach. You know, in a relationship, you can have a breach, right? Where they're against and at odds with each other. The peacemaker is a repairer of that breach, a bringer back together, again, of people at war with each other. It's to stop a war and to bring brotherhood back. Don't you love that when that happens? A peacemaker. Now, you can be a peacemaker between two warring parties and bring them back together, or you could be a peacemaker between yourself and somebody else because you get against people or people get against you. You can be a peacemaker also in how you are in your own relationships with other people. And so it is to restore peace and to heal or make whole a wounded, broken relationship, to bring it back together. That's a peacemaker. And you all know that already. So the next question then we can ask is, why does Jesus, do you think, in this beatitude, on this mountain, have to call us to be peacemakers? I mean, doesn't everybody know that? I mean, come on, Jesus, doesn't everybody know that a peacemaker is a good thing and we should be a peacemaker? Well, yes and no. If you think about the world at large, the world always talks really well of peace, don't they? And they talk well about peacemakers. But are they really for peace or are they for war? Is the world made up of peacemakers or is the world made up of warmongers? You know, just as an example, I think the world is warmongers. Look at all the division and disaster and conflict there is in the world. If you consider the world unbelievers, maybe even us, would you go to a movie about a peacemaker? About a guy who can stop the war with a word so that everybody just sheathes their swords and puts them all away before even any conflict breaks out? Would you go to a story, a movie about a man who's a peacemaker and just makes everything harmonious? No, we go to movies about people who are warriors. The world loves a good fight. Wants someone to beat the other person and to conquer them and to destroy the other and to win. That's the kind of thing the world likes. The world loves a fight. The world is after war. The world's really made up of warmongers. And when you think about peacemakers, those are considered weak and boring people by the world. Not so by God, but the world. And the world loves a warrior. He's considered great and exciting. We all want to be warriors. So in the very lighter sense of it, yeah, the world will say, yeah, peace is good, peacemakers are good, but really, we're for war and for warmongers. And you can prove that. You know how I can prove it? Look at the world. It's full of war. If you consider countries, someone recorded of the last 3,529 years of recorded human history, only 286 years of those have been warless. In other words, 8% peace, 92% of the time on Earth, it's war. You could also have war within countries. Do you think there's a war within our country? You know, maybe not just the Civil War times, North and South. Then it was, for years, Democrats versus Republicans. Now the Democrats and Republicans seem to be all together in something called the deep state, against the people against the deep state. It's war here and across the world. Same thing in other countries. You have war in communities, one town against another. Wars in churches. Are there wars in churches? Some churches, happily not ours, but some churches, like in Corinth in the Bible, they are even going to court and suing each other. There's such division there. What a shame. And of course, there's war, especially in personal relationships on the local level. One man, one individual against another. Don't you see that? In families, are there wars? Friendships, sometimes. Co-workers, neighbors, people at odds with each other. Husbands against wives. Wives against husbands. Parents against children. Children against parents. Friendships breaking up. That's the world. It's a world often of war because people are warmongers. And why do you think people are warmongers? Why can't we all just get along? Don't you say that, Cecile? You say that all the time. Why can't we all just get along? Right? We get along here, but the world I'm talking about. Well, it's because of sin in people's hearts. It's because of evil and darkness in people's hearts, their love of war. I mean, check this out. You have two people getting along. Well, people like to get along. Until one day, one person's feelings get hurt because they got a little hurt over something. They got miffed. And what do? Did they extend an olive branch and quickly try to make peace? Or they get all flustered, their feathers ruffled, their pride hurt, and to protect their wounded pride, they rush off and vow war, and I'm going to divide, and I'm never going to talk to you again. That happens in families, and husbands and wives, parents and children. And all that does, all this war does, is ends in death. Death of relationships. Like, marriages end in divorce. You know, I know there are parents who don't talk with their children. Children who no longer want to ever talk with their parents again. Friends break up and become estranged. Co-workers vow vengeance to get even. And neighbors continue then to slander and vilify you because the world is made up of war. Warmongers who are not willing to swallow their pride and confess their sins and extend an olive branch and forgive, but rather, nope, it's war. I'm angry, I'm ticked off, it's war, and I'll kill you. That's kind of what it's the world is. If a peacemaker doesn't step in there and somehow rescue the day and bring them back together again, to extend an olive branch, to take an abuse instead of striking back, to reach out to reconcile, to confess sins, and to forgive with grace that forgives, to bring back together in love, that's what God's after here in this beatitude. But the world ain't having it. They are full of warmongers. So what's God calling you and me to in this beatitude? What's Jesus telling us on this mountaintop? I want you, though, to be peacemakers. And if you do, you're going to be rare birds indeed, sort of like white doves, a small couple of white doves in a big field of black crows. You know, on my boat recently, I learned, what is a group of crows, a flock of crows called? A murder of crows? Are you serious? Who came up with that? But it's pretty fitting. You are called to be white doves, peacemakers, in the midst of a murder of crows. That's what God's calling to you, and he says, be a peacemaker. And I think every peacemaker in this world is quite outnumbered and would have to cry out with David from Psalm 120. Oh God, oh Lord, too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. So, next question I have then is, what does God think about all this? When he looks down from heaven and sees all this conflict, war, grudges, anger, embattlements, destruction, hurting of one another, those who love to fight and divide rather than restore a breach. What do you think he thinks about all these things? Answer is, he really hates it, and it grieves his heart in heaven from the throne. Just like in Noah's day. Remember, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Do you think God feels like that when he sees this division in families, husbands, wives, children, parents, friends, countries? It grieves him to his heart. It also wears out his patience, frankly. God is a very patient God. He deals with this, but the battles that go on the earth, he's like, oy vey, how long do I put up with these people, basically? For we read in Proverbs 6, there are six things which the Lord hates, seven which are an abomination to him. Think about how many of these are about making war. Okay, it's haughty eyes, pride, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and a man who sows discord amongst brothers. Every one of these is about warmongering, the evil in people's hearts. And God so hates this, frankly, he bears with it for a time, but he says, shall I not punish them for these things and avenge myself on a nation such as this? Eventually, his patience is going to wear out. But he says of peace, he says, but how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. God loves that harmony of love made by the peacemakers. And we have to be peacemakers because we're all sinners. The only way to dwell together in unity is to show grace to each other. But remember how Jesus wept over Jerusalem for their lack of peacemaking. He said, would that even today you knew the things that make for peace, yet now they are hid from your eyes. For the world is a world of war and full of the black murder of crows, that is, the warmongers. So, do you think God could kind of say the same thing as David said in Psalm 120? God also says, oh, too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. God's word to men. So, what does Jesus call us to then, again, in this beatitude? He says, I want you, though, to be rare jewels in this world. I want you to be white doves in the midst of a murder of black crows. I want you, though, to go out and quiet wars, to cause swords to be sheathed, to extend instead the olive branch, to make peace between warring wounded parties. I want you to go out and make whole again what is broken. Will you do that and be a peacemaker? What is the great thing about that? Why does God think that's such a great thing to be a peacemaker? It's because when you do that, God says, you are sharing my heart. That's what I'm after, peacemaking. For if you are a peacemaker, well, like father, like son, you're like me in the world. You might bear abuse for that, but oh, it'll be great. For what do we read about God in the Bible? Psalm 46. It says, God makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Does that mean we're against all war, you think? No. There is a time for war, it says in Ecclesiastes 3, and a time for peace. Sometimes we got to fight. We're called to be peacemakers, note, not pacifists. Is there a time for war? If somebody breaks into my house at night, a killer, he wants to misuse my wife and kill my children and kill me, is that a time for me to extend an olive branch? Would I be like, oh, please, I'm just going to talk with you and this is going to be wonderful? That's actually a time I would pull out a handgun and say, meet the peacemaker. And as King Arthur, Sean Connery, said in First Night in that movie, he says, there's a peace to be found only on the other side of war. Sometimes there is a time to fight, so I'm not saying we can't fight at times. But even there, we're seeking peace. That is the protection of the innocent, the saving of your family, the restoring of peace to your home. You're fighting for peace there. But what kind of, on the normal, everyday living, can we be peacemakers that Jesus is calling us to? What can we do? Well, first thing we can do, of several, is you can use your words to get in between warring parties and try to bring them to reason it out and reconcile. I see Moses doing this in the Bible. He was a peacemaker, wasn't he? Remember when he was in Egypt and there were two Hebrews that were quarreling with one another at each other's throats, and Moses gets in between them and he says, men, you're brothers. Why do you wrong each other? See, he's trying to be a peacemaker. Did it work out, Cindy? Did those two guys go, oh, Moses, you're so right. Sorry. No, they said, who made you a judge or divider over against us? And so it didn't work. But notice, he was trying. Sometimes when we try to make peace between warring parties, you're not going to always succeed. That's okay. You go be a peacemaker anyway. And sometimes you do win. And a lot of times we bring peace, and that is the best of all. But use your words as tools for peace. And especially, here's a great thing, speak quietly. Use a soothing voice. For a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 15. Another thing you can do, number two, would be to use your body. Have you ever used your body to make peace? I remember when I was in college, I was in the atrium of one of the college buildings one time, and there were two football players, and man, these guys were... these were built. These were like the Hulk going against Superman, okay? And bang, they were at it to tear each other to pieces. They were yelling and charging each other like bulls. I remember a guy that was very skinny, tiny, scrawny guy, and he had a courageous heart, and he immediately jumped in between these two guys as they're charging. He says, guys, break it up, and he gets in between them with his bodies. Which was the strongest of the three? It was the little guy, because the big guys weren't willing to beat up on the little guy to get to the other big guy, and he stopped the fight through his words, but also through his body. So you can use your body sometimes in various ways to bring peace. Thirdly, here's a good one, is you can just, when someone is seeking war with you, just don't react. Be kind of cool about it. I really had to use this once in high school. I was like ninth grade. I was kind of small. And after gym class, I remember in the locker room, boys' locker room, three big guys came in. I mean, they were all like twice my size. And they were looking for a fight. And they surrounded me at my little locker. And they're trying to jab at me with their words, provoke me to a fight, and to get me to turn and face them. And me being kind of just me, I was just like, well, yeah, that's really interesting. That's great. Happy for you. just kept on getting dressed and whatnot. And one of them was eventually, I just kept doing that, and they're just like, this guy's boring. Let's go beat up on someone who's more fun to beat up. And so I was so thankful to actually have used that one, because the peas helped to preserve my own body in that particular case. But sometimes when people are picking fights with you, they get a bee under their bonnet. You know, they are, what was the other one I had here? They get a burr under their saddle. Some people just want to fight with you. How about just, yeah, okay, fine, cool, and don't even really react. That can be a peacemaker. They just lose their wind in their sails. Fourthly, and here's a really much better one, is when you've hurt somebody and they want to make war with you, here's a great thing to do for be a peacemaker. Go and confess them, your sins. Swallow your pride. A lot of people just want to fight a war. They don't want to swallow their pride. But go and confess and say, look, I was wrong. I'm so sorry. The fault is not yours. It's 100% mine. Would you please forgive me? Sometimes I've done that with people who are really itching to get into a fight, and they're like, okay, I forgive you. But it just takes the energy out of their fight to confess and take the humble position. That's a great peacemaker. And really the best of all, number five, is when someone has hurt you and you are in the power seat and you could exact justice and demand an eye for an eye and hold the grudge and strike them back and kill the relationship at least. The best way to make peace is there is to do what? Is to forgive them. Isn't that the best peacemaker on the earth? Come on, to forgive the sins of another person will totally diffuse it. It's as if you open up the aqueduct and pour Niagara Falls on every fire. It'll put it out. Forgiveness of sins. Isn't that the best peacemaker? Amen? Why is that the best one? That's the one God loves the most. And why is it the one he loves the most? That's who he is. Who is the best peacemaker on earth? God and Jesus Christ, his son. What did he do for us? Look, we all sinned, okay? God was at war with us and we with God for our sin. God looked down from heaven and he didn't see anybody that was for him, but all against him. And it was a mess. It was a war. It was altogether evil. What did God do? Did he just say, all right, I'm going to strike you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to write you off and say, sayonara, nice knowing you. No, he didn't come for war. He came to make peace. And he did that through Jesus Christ. He sent Christ. And what is his name? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Because that's what God loves the most. And he came and preached peace to those who are far off and peace to you who are near. Or peace to you who are near and peace to those who are far off, Jews and Gentiles. And he says, come to me. You're at war with God. I've come as a peacemaker. Come to me, confess your sins, and I'll make peace. We'll have friendship again. I'll be a repairer of the breach. I'll restore you to God. And it'll just be friendship and a quiet stillness from now on between you and God and joy. Well, how did he do that? He did that for us at the cross. Let's read and pay very careful attention to this one, Colossians 1. For in Christ all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Look at that. Peace through his blood on that cross has brought you and me peace. The warfare is over. Comfort my people. It's over. And God restores us to a joyful friendship with him through the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. He is the champion peacemaker on earth. And that's why Jesus is calling you and me to the same. It's the best thing in the world to come. Warmongers belong to this age. Peacemakers belong to the world to come, and the world to come shall be given to them, to the peacemakers of the earth. For what is the promise that God gives to the peacemakers? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? the sons of God. Who inherits the kingdom? It's not warmongers. They don't have the title of sons. They are not like the Father in heaven. The world to come will be torn from them. They will be cast out of hell. Is the end of warmongers. But to the sons, they inherit the kingdom. To whom, again? To the peacemakers of the earth. And if God, think of this, has been a peacemaker to you, even with the death of his own son to make peace, shall we not also be peacemakers one with another? And what is the kingdom that God has promised you in the future, of which you are already an heir? The world's to come when Jesus returns as king. The earth is going to be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. No more hurting there. No more harm there. The creatures even at harmony with one another. Peace everywhere. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there's going to be no end, extending everywhere. This is God's kingdom that's promised you. For God makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth, Psalm 46. And listen to this one carefully, Isaiah 32. I love this one. God says, my people, that is the peacemakers, they will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Aren't you looking forward to that? I picture a little thatched roof, a little by a beautiful lake and mountains, and a quiet moving up of smoke, swirling up from the fire. Just a beautiful, peaceful place. That's what God's got in store for you, the kingdom of light and glory with him. Because he's the God of peace, okay? He's made peace with you, no more warfare. Then he puts peace into your heart, the peace of Christ. And then he says, now I want you to go out and make peace also with each other. To be those doves in the midst of the world, to sheathe the swords, to quiet the wars, to bring people back together again through the olive branch, through the extending especially of grace and the forgiveness of sins that will bring to people life and joy in the world, to God, to others, and to you. For those who counsel peace, says Proverbs, those who counsel peace have joy. And I want you to have joy. God does too. So let's conclude then with this great word. The blessing of God be to you. The peace of God. The peace of God, which passes now all understanding. May it keep your hearts and your minds in the peace and the knowledge and the love of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Did Jesus Mean? Blessed Are the Peacemakers, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the former Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at christlutheranchurch.capecanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.